G'day, I'm Linda Ross and welcome to the Garden Clinic Digs Deeper podcast. Thanks for joining me. It's great to have your company. On the podcast, we just love going around Australia, chatting to gardeners, garden designers and garden lovers, plant collectors and experts. But today, we're mixing it up a bit. We're taking the podcast overseas to see one of nature's most beautiful floral events. It's a special week this week. We're in Japan, travelling around, looking at the most beautiful floral festivals Japan has to offer. The cherry blossom has faded, and what comes next is a crescendo of floral festivals throughout Japan. We're celebrating wisteria, peony, and rhododendron. So join me today in an adventure, a mauve-tinted expedition to revel in Japan's wisteria wonderland. It's a jam-packed week. There's a new emperor, a new dynasty, Reiwa, and Golden Week, where the entire country has gone on holidays and they flock to their national living treasures, their gardens. It's all about wisteria ice cream, which is delicious, strawberries dipped in toffee, which is delicious, and wisteria watching.
This, garden lovers, is the sound of bigger, more colourful roses blooming in your garden after a healthy diet of Rich Grows Black Marvel Rose Food. Black Marvel's scientifically advanced formula contains fast-acting potash and iron to transform your rose garden into a symphony of colour.
So today we're opening the window into the wonderful world of Wisteria floribunda, and this is the graceful Japanese wisteria. I'll share all my secret wisteria gardens I like to visit when I'm in Japan. I'll explain my favourite hybrids and the ones that I'd like you to look out for when choosing a wisteria for your place. We'll look at the styles and the growth habits, training them to maximise flowering, care, and of course how to bloom and prune them properly. We know that they've got Olympic size proportions and they really need an athletic technique of pruning to keep them contained and trained. But once that's mastered, you can really look forward to years and years of enjoyment of your very own lavender lace work. So much of my love of gardening revolves around the anticipation of a single ephemeral event, you know, like winter's lemony fragrance of the white Daphne, or summer's frangipanis, of course, lavender-lined streets in late October with the jacaranda to herald summer, but of course wisteria's lavender lace curtain I just love to herald spring. And it's that associated sweet fragrance that knocks me for a six every single time. I love to just sit under a wisteria in full flight, bees humming, and I gaze through that lovely veil and inhale that sweet scent. A wisteria escaping up someone else's tree, as long as it's not mine, is guaranteed to stop traffic. But you really don't need a big garden to grow one. And that's what I want to concentrate on in this podcast. They are happy to grow on a balcony, on a veranda, in bonsai. I've seen so many wonderful bonsais whilst here in Japan. But in pots, they can thrive in pots. And we understand that wisterias are a vigorous vine and left to their own devices will have sort of exuberant growth that probably could contain your house. But good training will highlight those beautiful hanging racemes and those lovely blooms, and you'll really unlock their full potential. Wisteria can be really grown into any shape, a waterfall mound, a tree shape on a lollipop or standard. They can be trained over an archway, on a flat pergola, like a shelf like they do in Japan, but over a front lich gate, you know, at the front of your property, on the backyard loo, over and framing windows like they do in England a little, or flattened against a wall. But the key is to grow them tall enough to allow those long flower stems to hang down freely like a curtain. Look, it's really impossible to kill a wisteria. The worst thing you can do is they just won't flower. So buckle up, and here are our master tips on how to get the best out of your wisterias. My favourite way of growing wisteria is actually a multicoloured wisteria tree. I absolutely love training two different colours of wisteria up a pole, entwining them together round and round until you reach your desired height. Then you've got that long straight trunk or stem, and then chopping them to the height that you want that little tree-like canopy to come out. Prune them, and then you've got the new shoots, and they'll pop out and create that tree-like canopy. Keep them attached to some kind of pole, maybe a star picket, for about 2, 3, 4 years vertically, nice and straight. So you're really training a nice, strong stem. And then they'll become self-supporting after a while. And after 4 years, you can take away the star picket, making sure it doesn't entwine over the star picket, of course, because you want to remove the star picket and have it as a strong, straight stem. You'll have a multicolored wisteria waterfall. You might like a pink and a purple one, or a lilac and a white one, or choose two lovely colors that flower at the same time. And then the trunk will actually slowly strengthen to create a trunk, and the vine will actually be more like a tree canopy rather than a vine or you know, something that twists all over the place that you find hard to contain. Then you can walk underneath it, enjoy it while it's flowering. It's an absolute ripper of an idea, a tree wisteria. Wisterias come from three main areas. The one we all know and probably hate is the Chinese wisteria. It tends to go crazy. It's a weed. It gets into trees. It gets over the neighbor's fence, and it's incredibly hard to contain. There's wisterias that come from America, and then there's the wisterias that come from Japan. And they're the ones I want to concentrate on because they are so graceful and I think superior in every way. There's hundreds of different tones and colours of Japanese wisteria, but I just want to concentrate on just the ones that I absolutely love. So the Japanese wisteria is Wisteria floribunda, and they're often longer flowering racemes, longer in length, much prettier colours, denser packed petals or, you know, flowers along that raceme as well. Gorgeous autumn colour, that lovely buttercup yellow the leaves get in autumn. And often the pods, very graceful hanging pods as well, that are another decorative element in winter. These are Wisteria floribunda and Wisteria brachybotrys. Now, the most superior cultivars that I want you to look out for. Well, the best double purple is the only double purple that's out there, and it's more like purple rosebuds than pea flowers, and it's called Violacea plena. Wisteria floribunda, Violacea plena. Plena meaning double. Oh, it's so beautiful. You'll love it. The best white wisteria by far is one called Chironoda. It's available everywhere. It's the one that's planted on Monet's bridge, you know, at Giverny, over that lovely Japanese bridge. Monet loved it so much. The best pink is definitely Honbenai. I've got this one and I'm training it into a tree wisteria. It's also synonymous with Rosea, pink ice. They're also known as Honbenai, so you might find it in other names. The racemes of that flower length is about 45 centimetres long, so it's one of the longer ones, and it's absolutely the most beautiful pink on the market. If you want a long, pale blue wisteria, look out for Lawrence. He's a pretty rad guy. He's 50 centimetres long. Lots and lots of flowers densely packed into those long racemes. So Lawrence is a great one. Another really densely packed blue wisteria is one called Geisha. It's a really gorgeous one, and I know it's available in Australia as well. One of the longest lilac forms, and this is one that actually the racemes are a metre long, sometimes over a metre long, and we've got it in our garden at Beecroft, and we've had it, well, I think it's probably over 80 years old, Matrobotrys, and it's fabulous. It's also known as Longissima. Now, the best dark purple single is royal purple, and it's also known as black dragon. So those are my favourite ones. They're all available in Australia if you hunt them down, and I know you won't be disappointed.
The best garden in the street. Don't forget the sea salt.
Tell everyone you meet.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Have a listen to your garden today. If plants could talk, this is what they'd say. Hey, Mum.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Hey, Dad.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Hey, you.
Don't forget the sea salt.
Everybody.
Don't forget the sea salt.
So how do we get the most out of them? Well, firstly, buy a wisteria in flower. In spring, then you know the colour, you know it flowers, and you can really guarantee that. Secondly, choose a sunny spot. Wisterias need full sun to flower well. Their roots like moist, rich soil. Support, especially in the first few years, is absolutely essential. They're tough and vigorous things. In spring, every spring, add a little bit of compost around the root run. A little bit of potassium and phosphorus will help flowering. I like to add bone meal as well to the soil. That really helps. Wisterias don't usually flower in the first few years, so don't be worried. Don't prune them too late in the growing season either. Otherwise, you'll remove that bit that produces next season's flowers. And on the subject of pruning and training, the most important thing to remember is to prune, do that major thinning and that major reshaping at the end of flowering. So that really is at the end of spring. Get in there, prune them all back, hack it back, really contain that plant then. The major prune late spring is absolutely essential. You can do a less arduous tidy up 6 weeks later, and really don't prune your wisteria any later than January, February. But in that January, February time, you can prune all that whippy green growth off. But you don't want to prune too far into the brown timber, and you want to prune back to 5 buds. Otherwise, you'll be pruning off buds and ruining your chances of flowering. You want to contain the space allotted for your wisteria at that time. And those 5 buds will allow all the energy of the plant to go back into the buds and not into leaf growth. Come winter, you'll see a big difference between the fatter flower buds and the thinner leaf buds. Whippy growth can be also removed, that's unnecessary. And particularly any whippy growth that's along the bottom of the trunk, those sort of suckers or stems coming out the trunk should be completely and utterly removed. If the thought of pruning twice a year is just too hard to handle, maybe you should think of a really great subtropical alternative like Petrea volubilis or the sandpaper vine. It gives a fantastic mauve blue effect. It actually flowers for much longer than wisteria, and it doesn't need the frost or the cool weather. It actually prefers a warmer spot. But anywho, back to wisteria. I'm in Japan, and the three best wisteria gardens on the planet are in Japan. And if you're coming to Japan and you want to see these wisteria gardens, I just want to share the top three with you. About an hour and a half out of Tokyo north is a flower park called Ashikaga. This is the greatest number of wisterias in one place. Hundreds and hundreds of different wisterias all flowering, some giant trees, others small shrubs, others pruned on long fences, domes, archways, tunnels. It's an absolute superb garden to visit. Wisteria are in every colour of the wisteria rainbow. There's a lovely pink honbenai over the Japanese bridge. I love to come here during Golden Week. I take my group and we all eat purple wisteria ice cream, inhaling the lovely wisteria scent. There's gigantic bumblebees in this garden. You really knock you for a six. They're huge, about the size of your palm. But Ashikaga Flower Park is certainly the best garden to see wisteria. My second favourite garden is actually free, and it's in Tokyo itself. The nighttime reflections of the wisteria over the water in this garden are absolutely unsurpassed. And this is the Kamido Tenjin Shrine. It's open to the public and it's free. It's in the centre of Tokyo and there's kilometres of perfectly pruned pergolas of wisterias, some over pathways, others jutting over the water. In the evening, they're lit up, so you get that reflection. And during the day, they're just a million people crowding in to see the wisteria over that short period of time that they're flowering. The pedestrian walkways are lined with lots and lots of shops, all with different tasty treats. Gorgeous snacks to enjoy whilst looking at the crowds, a bit of people watching and the wisteria. My third favourite wisteria garden in Japan is Kawachi Wisteria Tunnels. And this is a really hardcore wisteria fanatic garden because it's so remote. It's a private garden. It's actually an old bamboo shoot forest farm in the wooded hills of Kitikashu on the island of Kyushu. It lies in a heavenly valley filled with kilometres of wisteria. Long wisteria tunnels you might have seen on Instagram and Facebook in every colour again of that rainbow. It's a large collection of wisteria trees and it's a 10-day season. It's very famous with people of Japanese in particular. You'll rarely see Western foreigners here. It's 2 hours on the bullet train from Okayama, and there's about 150 wisterias in flower. And if you can pick the day when they're all in flower, it's like dying and going to heaven. Now, a trip to Japan might not be on the cards for you and you might want something a little closer to home. Well, if you live in Sydney, of course, the best wisteria garden in Australia is nearly on your doorstep in the Blue Mountains. It's called Nuru and it's in Mount Wilson. And this is Australia's finest collection of wisteria, thanks to Peter Valder, who literally wrote the book on wisteria and his family. And of course, the present day owners, Dr. Tony Barrett. It's well worth seeing in spring. The unused tennis court is actually home to a brilliant collection of gigantic tree wisterias that are beautifully trained, and they trained into these soft billowing lilac clouds. So Nuru at Mount Wilson honestly is a breathtaking thing to do, and it's a wonderful day trip from Sydney. If you've got any questions about growing wisteria, perhaps one's not flowering or you want to choose a good wisteria and you don't know where to find one, please head over to the Facebook page or Instagram for the Garden Clinic Club. The Garden Clinic Club is a club of gardeners in Australia. We meet for regular meetings, workshops, classes, our cake and cutting day where we swap cuttings together in Sydney. It's a wonderful club full of really enthusiastic gardeners. So you can join the club on gardenclinic.com. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It really does help gardeners find us. If you've got a question, we're really happy to answer it. And the Garden Clinic Club provides a garden advisory phone service 7 days a week. So if you join the Garden Clinic, you can always call us every day and have personal attention on the phone. We really want you to have a beautiful garden and we're really happy to provide all the expert advice to help you reach those goals. Gardenclinic.com is the website. Garden Clinic Club is the Instagram handle. Otherwise, I look forward to bringing a whole world of gardening to you next time. Happy gardening and go safely.